40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The World Anti-Doping Agency has declared Kenya non-compliant with regulations prohibiting the use of performance-enhancing drugs, jeopardizing the African nation's participation in the 2016 Rio Olympics in Brazil. The International Association of Athletics Federation said Friday that it won't ban Kenya, but the International Olympic Committee has the final word. Lenny Ruvaga reports from Nairobi.
Kenya passed a law in April criminalizing the use of performance-enhancing drugs and creating a national anti-doping agency to tackle the problem. The Summer Olympics are just 3 months away, and Kenya was trying to avoid a ban. But the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, declared Thursday that the new legislation is not in line with its code. Kipchoge Keino, a member of Kenya's International Olympic Committee, told VOA they will appeal.
We're putting up an appeal requesting the World Anti-Doping to consider Kenya to participate. It's very sad. Around the world is that we're begging for the youth of this country to participate in the Olympics. It is a great loss for our youth if they don't participate. Those people who are behind these things should be action taken by the government of this country and also other countries in the world that we need a clean athlete participating in the Olympics.
Since 2011, more than 40 Kenyan athletes have failed drug tests. The International Association of Athletics Federations suspended 18 Kenyan athletes in January for doping. Kenya's runners typically dominate their events at international competitions. Philip Ngwano runs the 100 and 200 meters. He has been training for selection on the 2016 Olympic team.
It's completely crazy because they know for a fact that not every athlete is doping. We've been performing all this time without performance-enhancing drugs. This kind of a bullying tactic. Kenyans are being bullied because you know the guys who are using, who have been using banned substances. Why should we go after them and their managers? Why ban the entire Kenyan team? That's absurd. You know, it's ludicrous.
Coach Peter Mushiri was among the sports officials who contributed to the drafting of Kenya's anti-doping bill.
I think we did our level best, and the recommendation was taken in. And what I don't understand is what objections are they complaining that they were removed?
For the ban to take effect, the International Olympic Committee must ratify the ruling of the WADA board. Kenyan runners won 11 medals at the 2012 Summer Olympic Games, the most medals of any African country that year. Lenny Ruvaga for VOA News, Nairobi.
Thanks, Lenny. One of Kenya's greatest runners, Olympic champion and world 800-meter record holder David Rudisha, says he and other top Kenyan athletes are obeying the rules when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs.
It's not right to dope, and it's against the rules, and also it's against our colleagues and the athletes we compete. So I think also the anti-doping is doing their job, and most of the top athletes are always on the list, and we get frequent tests, and every time we update our whereabouts.
Speaking of whereabouts, David Rudisha spoke in China, where he'll compete in Saturday's IAAF Diamond League meet in Shanghai. From China, let's go to the paradise island of Mauritius, located about 2,000 kilometers off Africa's southeast coast. That's where Australian golfer Andrew Dott shot a 70 Friday at the AfAsia Bank Mauritius Open tournament. Andrew's performance was good enough for a three-shot lead heading into Saturday's third round. Mark Tompkins reports from the Four Seasons Golf Club at Anahita.
Well, it's been another good day for Australia's Andrew Dott in Mauritius. He followed up yesterday's 66 with a 70 today to leave him at 8 under par and takes a three-shot advantage into Saturday over last week's winner in Morocco, the Korean Jung-hoon Wang, who also shot a round of 70 today. Siddika Rahman from Bangladesh had to struggle hard to stay level par today, but he stays in a tie for third place on 4 under alongside Nicholas Kolsarts, who's just shot the lowest round of the week, a 65, 9 birdies and 2 bogeys on the card for the Belgian today. An Englishman, Ross McGowan, another good round from him today. A 67 takes him up into fifth spot on 2 under par. And 4 South Africans together in a group on 1 under par. Jaco Allers, Randa Smit, Henny Otto and Jaco van Sail, who will all look to try and mount a challenge over the weekend. But it's Andrew Dott that leads the way on 8 under par and leads by 3.
The first 4 or 5 holes are really tough here and you need to try and get through them, and I managed to do that with 6 pars, I think. That was the goal, get off to a good start, and I managed to do that and try and make some birdies after 6 or 7 holes.
So, it's fairly steady today, but there was a double on the card. Does that show you how this course can trip you up? You know, sometimes it's not just a bogey, it can be a lot worse than that here.
Absolutely, it can get up and bite you at any stage. It was just a loss of concentration, really. I made a nice chip in for birdie at the previous hole and got on that tee and didn't really have the focus that I should have had. But, you know, it's expected around here. You're probably going to make a few mistakes and you just got to roll the punches.
And going into the weekend, looking like a 3-shot lead at the top of the leaderboard, a nice position to be in?
Yeah, I haven't been in this position for a while or probably ever. I haven't led after 2 rounds before, so it's new territory, but I'm trying to enjoy it and trying to have some fun along the way.
I was going to say, does that change the strategy in any way for tomorrow?
No, just go out there and enjoy the challenge of this wind and the course. I really enjoy playing the course. It's a fun course and the wind makes it hard, but it's the same for everyone else.
It's been a good round. We'll play today.
Thank you.
That's Australian golfer Andrew Dott, who leads after 2 rounds at the AfAsia Bank Mauritius Open Tournament. And Andrew was talking with reporter Mark Tompkins at the Four Seasons Golf Club at Anahita, Mauritius.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
If you would like to leave a voicemail for possible use on a future Sunny Side of Sports broadcast, please call 1-202-205-9942. Once again, that number, 1-202-205-9942.
VOA!
When you hear the VOA identification, press 60, and please include your name and where you are calling from.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Magnus Chisholm calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I love listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a daily delight of listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Once again, Magnus Chisholm on with you, calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I'm wishing all the Sunny Side of Sports listeners all the best. Bye.
'Cause this is Africa. Samina, mina, waka, waka, Samina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
I'm very, 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 very excited. 'Cause
this is Africa. Samina, mina, waka, waka, Samina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
Now let's go to Orlando, Florida. the home of the National Basketball Association's Orlando Magic Club, and also where the second edition of the Invictus Games ended this week. The Invictus Games are described as a four-day celebration of sportsmanship and heroism for wounded military personnel. They aim to honor the service of war veterans, and they also use sports as a healing tool to help the veterans recover from physical and mental trauma. The games were started by Britain's Prince Harry in 2014. The 31-year-old Prince Harry is a former British Army helicopter pilot who served in Afghanistan. As the second Invictus Games ended with music and fireworks in Orlando, Prince Harry walked out on stage and had this to say during an ESPN television broadcast.
The competition has been fierce, with performances of the highest international standard across a number of events. But what inspired me was the courage to make it to the starting line, to take to the field or to dive in that pool, motivated by the goal of giving your all, medal or no medal.
Medals were awarded in 10 sports at the second Invictus Games: archery, cycling, indoor rowing, powerlifting, sitting volleyball, swimming, track and field, wheelchair basketball, wheelchair rugby, and wheelchair tennis. Earlier this week, the Voice of America's social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski, chatted with me about the international participation at the Invictus Games in Orlando.
Now, this is 500 injured servicemen and women from around the world, 15 different countries. It's actually created by Prince Harry of the UK a couple years ago. Of course, he was in the military in the UK, and after he retired, he said, let me do something for these injured servicemen and women. It's a great testament to how resilient they are. Some of these men and women fighting overseas or serving in their militaries who have been injured in various ways, competing as athletes. One of them, Sarah Rutter, is an American. She is now the most decorated Invictus Games athlete. She has 7 medals. She lost a leg in the September 11th attacks at the Pentagon. She was actually being promoted to Lance Corporal, and during her promotion ceremony was when the attack happened on the Pentagon. So she is, you know, even though she is missing a leg, she has a prosthetic leg. She runs in the 200-meter race. She's won, I think it's, you know, several gold medals, several silver medals. So congrats to her. She's one of these success stories. But we're seeing a lot of these great success stories being highlighted on social media.
First Lady Michelle Obama being at the opening ceremonies in Orlando. The First Lady, a big sports fan, just like her husband, President Obama. If I remember correctly, she was also at the opening of the Special Olympics last year in Los Angeles. So good to see her at these international sporting events.
Absolutely. It's been great to see President Obama and Michelle Obama lend their support to a lot of these events like the Invictus Games. In fact, we talked about it on the show, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, the kind of funny back and forth between Prince Harry and the Obamas. The Obamas sent a video saying, bring it, we're going to, you know, our athletes are going to be there. And Prince Harry, you know, brought in his grandmother, the Queen of England, and she said, oh dear, you know, kind of laughed it off. So they had a nice little social media back and forth with these little videos, but it really is great to show their support for this.
Do you see the Invictus Games growing in terms of countries represented?
Oh, absolutely. I think, and as you mentioned, the Special Olympics, I think we've seen that with the Special Olympics. It's certainly grown over the years. It's being covered now on ESPN, which is the big sports network here in the United States. Other sports networks around the world are covering it. I think we're going to see the same exact thing for the Invictus Games. It's going to grow. There are going to be more participants, more people involved lending their support, and we're going to see more coverage of it as well, not just on traditional media also, but on social media.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Andrew, it seems like overall the second Invictus Games got some pretty good publicity.
Absolutely. We are seeing hashtag Invictus Games across social media as people are posting these moments from the games. They actually closed out last night, and Prince Harry was there. He said that the athletes, he was so inspired by them that they really are showing how they can live through these injuries and not just live through them, but participate in these sports and thrive. And the nice thing about social media is that we've seen a lot of these moments highlighted in little videos and clips. For instance, we saw one British weightlifter. He had lost both of his legs in a bombing, and he was lifting over 400 pounds, and he actually won a gold medal. So there are even service dogs that we're seeing. One of the interesting stories, the service dogs of the different athletes that are there. ESPN doing a little story on that, publicizing that on social media. So it's all these, you get these inside look into the Invictus Games. You get the competitions, you get the medal ceremonies. There was one athlete who gave back her medal, and she said, I want to give this to the hospital that helped save my life. It's, you know, not about me, it's about them, because the only reason that I'm here is because they helped to save my life. So just these really nice, touching moments that we're seeing throughout social media.
And the next Invictus Games will be staged in Toronto, Canada. So heading north to our neighbor, and more of an international flavor for these games.
Absolutely, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them expand, you know, go overseas somewhere. Toronto, of course, in Canada is a Commonwealth country, so we may see Prince Harry back there. I mean, regardless of where it is, I'm sure Prince Harry will be there every step of the way, and social media has been cataloging that too, how his commitment to these games that he helped form really shows through. So it's, all in all, just a really nice event, one that I think is going to get a lot more coverage on social media. I think actually the social media is driving that, because even after, in the days after this, these Invictus Games, I think we're going to see these moments live on, and we're going to see people watch these videos again and again and share these moments.
In terms of watching the videos, Andrew, you can do worse than having Prince Harry as your official spokesman, you know, very photogenic guy. And he's very comfortable in front of a microphone.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, part of the attention. He's drawing in a lot of that attention to these games, lending his personality and his title and his role on the world stage. And also his role as a veteran, because he did serve in the British military forces before leaving that a few years ago. So he's continuing his work with veterans there and using his role in the world for good.
In addition to the Invictus Games, another big sports story this week in Mexico City, Mexico. That's where FIFA, World Football's governing body, held its 66th annual Congress. Andrew, anything trending from Mexico City?
Well, the big news trending is the new Secretary General of FIFA, and it is Fatma Samoura of Senegal. Now, it is not only the first woman to be the Secretary General, it's also the first non-European and the first African Secretary General in FIFA's history. So big news on a number of fronts. You have a lot of people talking about, well, this is great that it's expanding outside of Europe. I mean, football is huge in Africa, huge in all around the world, not just in Europe. So a lot of Africans especially saying, how nice to see that our continent is recognized and our, you know, love of this sport is recognized. And then the fact that it's a woman, a lot of people saying, well, this is a great step forward because FIFA isn't just the men, it is the women as well. So you see comments saying, now that's what we call change. Somebody just gave the thumbs up emoji saying great job. So we're seeing a lot of positive comments about that. There's some negative comments saying, oh, well, this was somebody that was hired as a kind of a diversity hire because she's a woman, because she is not from Europe. That's the reason why she was hired. And people saying, well, yeah, exactly. She was hired for those reasons because it adds diversity. And it shouldn't just be white men from Europe. It should be representative of really all that FIFA is.
And all that FIFA was in terms of its makeup, in terms of its executive board, very male dominated. So this is, what a dramatic change to have Fatma Samoura from Senegal in arguably the second most powerful position at FIFA.
No, it's absolutely huge for FIFA, and it's huge for women too. A lot of people talking, as we've talked about, Hope Solo and her quest for equal pay for the U.S. women's national team, equal pay for the men's, as much as the men's team is making. And people are saying, well, maybe having a woman in one of these top posts in FIFA might accelerate those campaigns for equal pay, and they might actually shed more light on those campaigns for equal pay. So I'm sure Hope Solo is thrilled about this appointment, and I'm sure it may help her campaign.
at FIFA.com, the official website for World Football's governing body. There's a big article on Fatma Samora from Senegal, FIFA's new Secretary General, and Gianni Infantino, FIFA's president, has some words of praise for the Senegalese official. He says, and I quote, "Fatma is a woman with international experience and vision who has worked on some of the most challenging issues of our time. She has a proven ability to build and lead teams and improve the way organizations perform. Importantly for FIFA," says Infantino, "Fatma Samora also understands that transparency and accountability are at the heart of any well-run and responsible organization." And those words, transparency and accountability, Andrew, not always associated with FIFA.
I don't think it's a mistake at all, though, that he put them in there, because I think that they're trying to show that this is a way to have some more transparency and accountability, get some fresh blood in there, get some new people in there. So I don't think that was not an accident that he used those words in talking about Fatma Samora, because I think that this is kind of emblematic of the change that they're trying to achieve and trying to shed some of that negative press and negative attention that they've received because of the corruption.
Do you see this appointment, Andrew, as perhaps a boost for women's football overall?
I think so. I think a lot of fans on social media are hoping so, for sure. There are a lot of, in the U.S., especially the women's team in the U.S. has done exceptionally well over the years. So they're certainly hopeful that maybe brings women's soccer more into the forefront. And like I said, I'm sure, you know, I haven't seen any social media reaction from any of the women's national team players here in the U.S., but I'm sure that they're very excited about this appointment. And they're saying it's about time that we have a woman in one of these top spots because women's soccer is so important to us.
Fatma Samora, FIFA's new Secretary General, has impressive international experience, a 21-year veteran of United Nations programs, and she's currently the UN's resident humanitarian coordinator and UNDP resident representative in Nigeria. Also on her resume, since starting her UN career as a senior logistics officer with the World Food Program in 1995, Ms. Samora has served as a country representative or director in six African countries. They are Djibouti, Cameroon, Chad, Guinea, Madagascar, and Nigeria. And she's multilingual. She speaks French, English, Spanish, and Italian. So clearly a vast experience in Africa, Andrew.
Yeah, and there is that European connection. Even though she's not from Europe, she can communicate with the Europeans. She can speak French and Spanish, all these different languages to them. So she will have no problem communicating with them in FIFA. But like I said, this really does communicate a change, I think. There's no mistake they picked somebody with such an impressive resume, somebody from outside of Europe, and a woman. I think these are all things they're saying we want to be change. We want to try to move FIFA forward and show that we're working to make this organization better.
Finally, some reaction from the new FIFA Secretary General herself. She says, and I quote, "Today is a wonderful day for me, and I am honored to take on the role of FIFA Secretary General." And she adds, "I believe this role is a perfect fit for my skills and experience, strategic, high-impact team building in an international setting, which I will use to help grow the game of football all over the world." And I know FIFA has that slogan, Andrew, for the good of the game. So maybe this appointment ultimately will be for the good of the game.
I think so. I mean, it's, you know, just looking through some of the tweets here, people calling it history making. We have one tweet just tweeted out while we were on the air, actually, from Billie Jean King. She said, "So happy Fatma Samora appointed FIFA Secretary General. Strong move by Gianni Infantino and an important first step." So we're already beginning to see some of those reactions come out from some pioneers in women's sports, pioneers in sports generally, and just female pioneers around the world. So we're getting a lot of reaction. As we said, much of it positive. It's a good step forward for FIFA.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew. Have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. You too.
And that wraps up the May 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The United States is determined to disrupt the illicit flow of money from the trade of oil and trafficking of antiquities to the terrorist group Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or ISIL. Toward this end, the U.S. Department of State's Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $5 million for information leading to the significant disruption of the sale and/or trade of oil and antiquities by, for, on behalf of, or to benefit ISIL. Through its illegal oil operations and trafficking in looted archaeological material from Syria and Iraq, ISIL has generated millions of dollars in hard currency, enabling it to brutalize and oppress innocent civilians. This is the first time the U.S. Secretary of State has authorized a Rewards for Justice offer for information that could be used to disrupt the sale or trade in oil and antiquities by or on behalf of a terrorist organization. Anyone with information on oil and antiquities trafficking that benefits ISIL can contact the Rewards for Justice office via the website at www.rewardsforjustice.net or by email at info@rewardsforjustice.net or by standard mail at Rewards for Justice, Washington, D.C., 20520-0303. USA. Individuals in North America can also call this phone number, 1-800-877-3927. All information will be kept strictly confidential. The Rewards for Justice program is administered by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Diplomatic Security. Since its inception in 1984, the program has paid in excess of $125 million to more than 80 people who provided actionable information that put terrorists behind bars or prevented acts of international terrorism worldwide. Follow us on Twitter at https://twitter.com/rewardsforjustice, as in the numeral 4.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
With your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one, this one,
every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.